Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Meg Winterstein is here. Meg Winterstein is the Vice President of Marketing at ZenReach. She's here to talk to us about something that's... She's going to give a little more definition to something that we've been talking about now for almost a year. She's our new friend, Meg Winterstein. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
It's good to have you here, Meg. Megan, thanks for being here. As I was telling the audience earlier, reminding them, I should say, earlier in the segment before you got here, we've been tracking things that I'm calling silver lining stories on the show here for a year now. Not quite a year. We probably didn't realize what was going on until last summer. And I started talking to people who were saying things like, well, I never thought I'd do this, but now I like it. In fact, I'm not going to go do what I used to do. I'm going to stay with this. And most of the time it was restaurants that we were talking about. People who were so proud of their shop. They loved it when people came in. It was part of why they did what they did. And it never occurred to them to do takeout. My goodness, why would I put food out the back door, right? And now they say, and then last summer they say, wait a minute, I got to survive. I got to do something. And the kitchen is where the origin of my business. So we'll keep the kitchen going. We just won't serve people at tables. And that became a survival model for thousands and thousands of small restaurants, didn't it?
It really did. I think it really became a way to kind of help keep the industry alive during the pandemic. And I think the public responded to it. You know, the rates of delivery skyrocketed during the pandemic. And so did this model, what we call ghost kitchens as well.
Yeah. Where's the term ghost kitchen come from? I'm not sure I like that term. If I may be so bold, I'm not sure that's anyway, who came up with it? I know you didn't come up with it. You didn't come up with
it. It definitely wasn't me.
No, you would have come up with a better name for it, Megan. I can tell that. So, but where did that come from? Ghost kitchen. That sounds like there are ghost radio stations. You know that? Do you know about ghost radio stations?
No, I haven't heard that term.
They're ghost broadcasters, but they're illegal. I mean, they're operating illegally. That's the reason it kind of makes me wonder about this. But anyway.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not gonna fight. You know, I'm not gonna fight the term. But basically, when you say ghost kitchen, what do you think that means?
Yeah. So a ghost kitchen is a supplemental prep facility that's set up by an already established brick and mortar restaurant. And that space will cater exclusively to delivery and takeout customers. So I think that's where the ghost comes from. It's like this idea that it's a second location.
Right.
That's maybe a little bit less tangible.
So what you're saying is let's say you've got a blue tablecloth kitchen, a restaurant, not a white tablecloth kitchen, restaurant, maybe a blue tablecloth kitchen. It's a nice kitchen, but you know, you can take the kids there in that restaurant. And even when the pandemic comes back, they've rented another place. It's certified, it's inspected, it's got all the correct stuff there. But if you don't want to bring the kids down to the restaurant, you can order the same food from our ghost kitchen. And we'll bring it to you.
That's right. It basically eliminates the front of house. That's
right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I don't see this. I mean, I see it happening. Do you see? Well, let me rephrase it. Do you see this as a future business model, as a standalone? Meaning, You know, I like to cook, but I don't like people. You know, maybe that would be me. That would be me. I might start a ghost kitchen, but not a front of house type of restaurant, because I like to cook, but I don't like people. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think this business model has legs. If you think about the amount of capital and cost that it takes to get a new restaurant off the ground, you're essentially eliminating, you could be eliminating up to half of that cost. So generally, right, it's a lower risk and could allow businesses to even test markets through delivery, through pickup, before really making that investment into the brick and mortar capital.
Mm-hmm. So I see this being something that you even, well, let me ask you this question. What's the difference in this? This is like micro catering, right? This is catering for three instead of catering for 30. Isn't that kind of what this is?
Yeah, I guess you could frame it that way. It's still very much the same thing as ordering a la carte off a menu.
Right.
I think when I hear catering, I think large scale.
Right, I understand. But still, you're serving people on their plates. You know, you're delivering it in a vessel that they then transfer, probably, maybe not, but possibly to their own plates. So what I'm getting at is I can see this. I don't know that the kitchen thing will last unless you come up with some kind of a way to make it exciting. In other words, don't cook for your dinner party of eight. Let us do that. That kind of thing. What do you think?
Well, I think catering traditionally has like an event or like social gathering kind of context to it, whereas this is literally like
dinner.
It could be just
your
traditional dinner on Monday or Wednesday night. And there have been some really interesting things that brands are doing with this, where they have, you know, their ghost kitchen setup has secret menu items, or they establish a completely new brand with the ghost kitchen to kind of, whether it's to get around maybe preconceived notions of the master brand. So we saw Chuck E. Cheese do that last year, in fact.
The reason I like it is because I can eat the great food at the restaurants I like at my house, where my wine cellar is better than theirs. That's one thing, reason I would like it. Hey, I need Megan, I need your website, please.
Sure, www.zenreach.com.
Zenreach.com. We're going to come back after the break with Megan Winterstein. Get her to tell us about some marketing ideas for these ghost kitchens and what she's learned about marketing in the third decade of the 21st century works for you too. 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I promise. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.